Welcome, nerds, once again to the news. I warned you it was going to be a late episode. It's also going to be a bit of a by the seat of our pants kind of episode. So minimal edits, but also going to try and get through this just as quick as possible because running out of time even on this delayed schedule. So this week we have some huge touring news in the music section. We have weird bundles for streaming services we're going to talk about in the tech section. In comic books and books, we have the death of Free Comic Book Day. Kind of. We're also talking in TV shows. Not so canceled series just got a release window. And then in the movies section, we have a new Lord of the Rings series, kind of. And then finally in Rumor Mill, we got some Spider-Man 4 rumors to discuss, plus a whole lot of news. So without any further ado, let's do the thing. So this week in music news, we have a couple of follow-ups to get out of the way. We have a new to the channel band that we kind of have to talk about in new music section. Plus, we have, like I said, kind of a really big announcement for touring in the touring section. So let's do the musics. Let's kick it off in follow-ups and corrections. We have follow-up for the falling in reverse situation. Ronald, the song that we talked about in the new music section last week, apparently they did the thing. At Rockville, they had Tech N9ne and Alex Terrible from Slaughter to Prevail on stage performing the song. So like I said, I wasn't sure if we were ever going to see it happen on tour. Technically, it's not on tour because it's a giant festival, so the odds of all of those acts being in the same spot at the same time greatly increased. But I think Falling Reverse is technically on tour, so I was kind of wrong. But either way, it's pretty cool. You can go check out video of it on the YouTubes linked down below. And then we also have an update on the Slipknot situation. There is video, better video, but it's not a complete video of the two first performances with the new jumpsuits and the new masks and the new players. You can go check it out on their YouTube channel. It's, I believe, also up on the website. So if you don't do the YouTubes, then you can go check out the Slipknot. I think it's still slipknot1.com. It has been since the first record. They could have closed or they could have changed it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it still is. You get a better look at the masks. It's only a minute of video though, so it's not exactly a music video, and it's definitely not the entire performances from those nights, but you can go check out that. And then honestly, even if you want a closer look at the new masks, then you can check out their Instagram feed because they have extreme close-ups of all the new masks up there and definitely worth a look there. Of note on this is they're giving everybody else's name, but they're still not specifically naming the player who has replaced Craig Jones for samples. So very interesting. I'm very curious what the relation of the new guy is to Craig, if there is any. I mean, I'm sure it's somebody from the scene in Iowa or somebody they've known for years, but just be interesting once we figure out who it is. Anyway, that's what we have for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk new music right now. We have a new one from Bad Wolves. Okay. Bad Wolves, name of the song is Hungry for Life. It features Chris Daughtry. This is exactly what you would expect out of those two bands, the Daughtry and Bad Wolves. It's super produced, very shiny, very kind of music for the masses kind of situation. And there's really nothing exceptional about it. Yes, Chris Daughtry has a fantastic voice. Apparently, the dude who sings for Bad Wolves also has a pretty damn good voice. But like, at this point in the scene, those notes are kind of a dime a dozen for bands all over the place. So recommend if you want to see super shiny production, sure. If you're looking for something that's going to be meaningful to you, this probably isn't going to be it. Next, we have a new one from Coheed and Cambria. It's called The Joke. I have never been a Coheed and Cambria fan. I have an appreciation for Coheed and Cambria on a number of levels. I think it's awesome that it's based on a comic book series that Claudio is writing, wrote, or whatever, storyline that he's created himself. That is just this big epic sci-fi thing, and this seems to still be playing into it. I don't keep up on the Coheed lore, so I don't know that for certain, but I want to postulate this. Why is it that we don't get this kind of amazing bottom end in anything else, really? Like, this is some super popular music, and that is a incredible, very, very talented bass player taking care of the bottom end in this band, and I just want more very, very popular music to have a really capable bottom end, man. A new appreciation for Coheed and Cambria from this song from me. I recommend, if you like Coheed, you'll dig it. If you like kind of the more emo side of the aggressive music, you'll probably dig this too, because they're very talented musicians. If you are expecting it to be anything other than Coheed and Cambria, then you're barking up the wrong tree, because this is through and through Coheed. Our next one is Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, a band I haven't heard from in a long time. Name of this song is Thrush. I mean, I've had a weird appreciation for Maylene since I've been aware of them. I can't get the combination of vocal style and musical style just seems a little too abrasive for me, is why I never really dug them as much as other bands similarly. Like He Is Legend, I think, is the better version of this band, but this new Thrush song is pretty legit. If you like some tasty southern fried licks with your post-hardcore, I guess is kind of where you would qualify the rest of the delivery, then this is gonna be right up your alley. Is it going to change any minds on this as a genre or them as a band? Maybe a little bit. This is going to be something new, because they haven't been around in the public eye as much recently. So this new single will help that. I just don't think it's going to do them great things, but it is still pretty tasty licks, pretty good track. Just some of the elements seem a little off to me. Next up is Backwards. This is the band that I referenced in the tease for the section, that they've technically been around for some time, just only have they recently started hitting on a lot of people's radar. Backwards, if you don't know, is a metalcore band that is fronted by Mr. Rippa himself, Eric July, the writer for the Rippaverse, the creator of the Rippaverse. He's doing his own comic book thing. Not too dissimilar from Coheed and Cambria, though the music and the comic books don't really link in the same way. But yeah, so Backwards, the new track is called White Pilled, because of course it is, because everything Eric July does is some sort of social politics involved. And legitimately, it's pretty solid metalcore, and by saying that, I mean it's fairly mediocre, but not bad necessarily in any way. So if you dig mediocrity, honestly, I am a person who willingly will acknowledge the fact that mediocre music is kind of my bag, in that it's you have to understand that it's mediocre in order to fully appreciate the really, really good stuff in a one individual genre. This is going to sit in the middle of that mediocre pile. It's not nothing terrible, it's nothing great, but it's pretty good. So there's that. Our next one comes from Kitty. We've been talking about Kitty for a little bit since they reformed and, you know, did those reunion shows that then turned into a tour that then turned into a new record. And from the new record, we have Vultures is the new track. So I just could never get behind the Lander sisters. I don't know what it is about Mercedes and Morgan, but something about Morgan's voice, and honestly, having met Mercedes, she is too much of a rock star for my personality. Like, we just didn't mesh in the whatever it was, half an hour of time that I spent around her. And so just kind of couldn't really dig them as much as I felt like I should or wanted to. Even this new track kind of is more of the same. It's definitely a step up from where they kind of spent the last little bit of their career before this revival. It's still not quite gonna do anything to compare with that first record. I think the first record is really nostalgia glasses at this point, by and large, but still, the first record was so unique, and then they tried to fit in more with subsequent records. It just didn't work out as well as I feel like they wanted it to, or some people would have you believe. This new stuff is better than all of the schlock, but I still wouldn't quite put it at the same level as that first record. So that's what we got for Kitty. And then our final piece is Based. Now, Based I have heard a number of times on Matthew K. Hafey's, what is it, the Chaos Hour on Sirius XM. I listen to his show at least once a week every week because they play it on rotation, so it plays about 7 or 8 times. But I really find some fantastic new music there, so if you haven't, go check that out. But yeah, Matt Hafey's doing great things for the scene on that show. And he will play new bands very frequently. One of those new bands he has some sort of relation to, in that I think he might have managed them briefly. Maybe he produced them, I can't remember. But Based is the name of this band. And I always thought he was mispronouncing it, but then I saw the spelling. I was like, well, there's no real other way to pronounce that. So, Based, this new song is Imp of the Perverse. May or may not have been played on Chaos Hour, honestly, but new video to go along with the song, so it still qualifies. But this is, I don't even know like exactly what subgenre this would classify as. I honestly, if you watch the channel regularly, you'll know that I just don't really care for subgenre. Like, yes, it helps when you're trying to communicate a sound to somebody, like they sound like this kind of sonic description. So that's the kind of the extent that I care about subgenre, and I don't know how this band would be subcategorized, but I want more of it. These dudes are heavy as hell. Oh my God. It's a little bit more of that, like we were talking in the That Just Happened episode last week about how it's just kind of a blunt object, and it's just kind of blunt force trauma from that blunt object. Only there is a bit of a technical side to them too, more so than the bands we were talking about previously. And then also the video for this, watching the video, I can smell every frame of that video. Just, I've been at those shows. Most of the shows I go to, honestly, are that. And that was the most visceral reaction to that video. It was like, oh my God, I can smell every one of those bodies. So yeah, this is good stuff. If you like heavy music, then this should be a band on your radar as up and coming, because they are fantastic. That's what we got for new music, though. Let's get into tours and festivals. Our big one for tours this week is David Gilmour. David Gilmour has announced that for the first time in approximately 8 years, he will be touring the States. It will be in support of his new record, Luck and Strange. It's due out in September. The first show is going to be at the Hollywood Bowl on October 29th. And the second show, I'm sorry, he's not touring, it's two shows. The 29th and 30th, it's four shows, two different venues. Hollywood Bowl, 29th and 30th, Madison Square Garden, November 4th and 5th. And then our next on the list is a band that honestly was the first time I felt like anything on this channel got any sort of like close to being called viral, is when I did a reaction to the band King 810. And King 810 just announced that they are going on tour. Actually, they're currently on tour with Shaggy 2 Dope, which is a weird thing to say out loud. But they're going on a headlining tour once the tour with Shaggy 2 Dope ends. And they're going to be taking on the road with them Last 10 Seconds of Life, which is also a great band, and Extortionist, which is also is a pretty good band. I wouldn't say Extortionist is great, but Last 10 Seconds of Life is pretty damn good. August 1st is the first date. It starts in Rochester, New York, runs through September 1st in Indianapolis, Indiana. There are a bunch of dates on here. Link for those can be found down in the description if you're interested in tickets. And then our other tour for this episode is the Sisters of Mercy, a little bit of goth pop industrial techno things from the 90s. Sisters of Mercy is going out with support from Black Audio. Black Audio is noteworthy because they're also that kind of like Depeche Mode gothy pop stuff. But Black Audio is Davey Havoc and Jade, I can't remember Jade's last name, from AFI that do the Black Audio stuff. And it's legitimately good. If you're into that side of the gothy music, you like the more dancey kind of techno pop. Like, I don't know how else, again, subgenres, I hate them. But this tour starts September 14th in Detroit, runs through October 26th in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You can go check out links for tickets down in the description as per usual. From there, we do have a couple of pieces of regular ass news to get out of the way. The first of which, honestly, we should have talked about last week, but honestly, there was a little bit of an affecting nature to it because it is the passing of somebody very instrumental in kind of my musical ear growing up and then getting into being more than just a musician, but also just I kind of honestly had to process it a little bit. So we have the passing of Steve Albini. If you don't know who Steve Albini is, he's a tech. He's an audio tech, and he's worked on some of the most instrumental records of the 90s and kind of the music that has come since then. I've definitely worked with Nirvana, Bush, Neurosis, The Stooges, Helmet, Zayo, just very, very influential and very, very fantastic bands whose sound was at least partially shaped by this man. Albini was 61 at the time of his passing, and he passed from a heart attack. And the music industry is without a giant now. And so we're definitely going to take a moment in remembrance of Steve Albini because, wow. All right, now bringing things back a little bit, we have one other piece of regular-ass news has to do with the Blue Ridge Rock Festival. If you remember, last year's Blue Ridge Rock Festival got canceled part of the way through it because reasons that are still under investigation. We are a year after the fact, and they are still investigating what the hell happened, and, you know, do the promoters owe people money. I'm sure they do. But so Blue Ridge Rock Festival for 2024 is canceled, surprising no one. What with all of the legal issues that they are still in from last year, they just could not go forward with this year's show. There's probably a little bit more nuance to that, but that's kind of the biggest breakdown of what the explanation was that they gave on the website. So yes, if you have already purchased tickets for 2024, you should be getting your refund. And then the promoters at the end of the announcement said, we will be coming back for 2025 though. So hold your breath and whatnot, because yeah, that's actually going to happen. So that's what we got for regular ass news, which leaves only one last subsection for the music. And that is suggestion this week for music is Bush, Razorblade Suitcase. Speaking of one of those records that Albini was just... one of the best Bush songs is on this record. It's Greedy Fly. It's amazing. Listen to it. Every other track on this record was released as a single, roughly, so you'll recognize a lot of this music. If you are unfamiliar with the 90s alt-rock, grunge, whatever, then this is a great place to start. Razorblade Suitcase is a fantastic, fantastic record and a fantastic example of Steve Albini's work, a fantastic example of just kind of the general sonic nature of the mid-ish 90s, and just a great place to go to forget yourself for about an hour and a half. So that's your suggestion this week, Bush's Razorblade Suitcase. All right, so gaming and tech. This week we have weird cable bundles that are also including streaming. We're going to talk about that. We'll get to all that. We also have a new cartoon channel that's going to be much more available than the Cartoon Network, as well as finally getting an announcement from Canon on the tech side of things, specifically on the creation side of things. So let's get into all of that, shall we? So this week, we have no follow-ups, no corrections, no trailers in the gaming and tech section. Though I think that might be not 100% accurate, so there's probably going to be a trailer or two next week that we should have talked about this week, and I just missed it. I just feel like there was something that, in my haste, I overlooked. But we do have a bunch of regular-ass news, so let's talk about that, shall we? The first two pieces in news have to do with streaming bundles. Like, this is gonna be, this is the world we live in now, because streaming doesn't make people money. But we have that Disney and Max, so Disney and Disney Plus and Max and Hulu have announced that they're going to be bundling together. So Warner Brothers Discovery and the people at Disney have worked out some sort of deal that they're going to be offering you a bundle, actually technically two different bundles, because there is the ad-supported bundle, and then there's going to be an ad-free bundle that gives you all three of those services, Disney+, Hulu, and Max. The exact rollout for this has not yet been made known, nor have the prices for either tier, the ad-supported and the ad-free. They have not mentioned pricing just yet. As they do, we will be following up on this, because this is just an interesting situation. It doesn't make them money, so they're going to bundle it with somebody else and not, and give you the option to not have ads. It just seems like maybe we're heading in the direction of just becoming cable again. Like, that's kind of where this is going. And speaking of that, our next piece in the same vein is Comcast. Not to be outdone by Disney, Comcast has announced that they're going to be packaging streaming services in with your cable service. Or I believe you can also purchase the streaming bundle standalone without the actual Comcast cable, but it's still through Comcast, so why wouldn't you get the cable as well? But the new streaming services, or the streaming services that they're going to be bundling in with Comcast, is going to be Peacock, Netflix, and Apple TV+. Currently, they already offer you a subscription to Peacock. Like, that's the only way I have a subscription to Peacock. But now they're going to also be throwing in an additional fee, Netflix and Apple TV+. So no details as to launch for that, or what the new pricing schematics are going to be, or if there's going to be a tiered option like there is for the Disney Warner Brothers bundle. If there's going to be an ad-supported version versus a ad-free version, that remains to be seen. Though I can tell you from my experience at this point with the Comcast and Peacock bundle, it's going to be ad-supported and only ad-supported. And I don't know, maybe they will give you another tier just because Apple TV kind of functions in that way. So maybe that's the new element to this. But as it stands right now, Comcast does not give you a Peacock subscription without ads. It just isn't the way it works. So yeah, we'll see. And again, once that gets made known, we will be updating you here on the channel. All right, so let's move right along from Comcast into Microsoft. So we have a little bit of an ironic situation with Microsoft. Microsoft Gaming Studios just closed a few of their smaller publishers, though smaller is only a relative term here, because one of the publishing houses that they closed was responsible for Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush is one of the most well-known, or I guess not well-known, but well-received games on a Microsoft platform of recent history. Like, this game did super well for them, and then they closed the developer, which seems very strange. So the two studios that they closed are Arkane Studios and Tango Gameworks. Tango Gameworks are the ones who gave us Hi-Fi Rush. Arkane Studios are the ones who gave us Redfall, so maybe not a whole lot loss on that side, aside from people's jobs, which obviously sucks. So this happened. This happened last week, like, the day I filmed, and so I wasn't aware of it until the day after the episode went up, but that happened. And then a day or so later, the head of gaming, what's his name? Matt Booty, the head of Xbox Game Studios, declared that the Microsoft gaming division is going to be seeking to turn development attention towards, quote, smaller games that give us prestige and awards. You mean like Hi-Fi Rush? Like, you just fired the people who created that. So which is it? Are you going to be doing the Steam and award side, or are you going to be doing the making money side? Like, apparently, because And this all seems, and this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory, I feel like, but this all seems to be connected to the rather poor sales of Bethesda's Starfield, because that is kind of the biggest thing that Microsoft has purchased recently is Bethesda. And then the first thing they do specifically for Microsoft is underperform, so they lost them money, which means they had to do something in order to appease the shareholders. They had to do something in order to keep the company profitable, or to not even the company profitable, to keep that division of the company over profitable. Like, I don't know, it's just a little bit ridiculous. So I don't know where we're going with this one. It just there is so much wrong right now about the corporate structures of a lot of the companies involved with gaming and the culture that there needs to be some sort of crazy restructuring in how we do this as in this side of the nerd culture that I don't have any answers. I just can see what's broken. I'm not the person to fix it, as is rather obvious. And so let's have that conversation. What are the reasonable and feasible options for fixing stuff like this to keep this from happening again? So yeah, from there we have the next piece that has to do with a new Cartoon Network, not Cartoon Network, but a new network of television that is going to be dedicated to cartoons, and some really interesting things going on here. So if you still have Bunny Ears TV, which a lot of us do, I only have kind of TV on one of my screens. The other screens still use Bunny Ears. So if you're still using a digital amplifier, if you will, in order to pull the signal from the sky, then you probably are aware of a channel on the basic channels situation called MeTV. I forget exactly what the ME stands for. I know they had something at some point, or maybe they just are calling it MeTV now. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've watched regular television, but it's an umbrella company that does a number of those channels, because on digital you have the sub channels, right? You have channel 13.1 and 13.3 and 13.6, right? Those are all different channels, even though they're on the same wavelengths. So MeTV owns a number of those sub channels as well, but all of their channels have a theme, and they're all collection of, what is the word? They're all a collection of like old syndicated shows. So you got like Murder, She Wrote, and a bunch of those old Western TV shows that my grandpa used to watch, and a lot of stuff like that. There's some stuff like you would potentially see it Nick at Night. Like let's for the millennials and maybe the older Gen Zers out there, Nick at Night is kind of your frame of reference. It's a whole series of channels dedicated to that kind of stuff. So now they're broadening that into one more channel, and it gets pretty interesting here. So we have old Hanna-Barbera and Looney Tunes cartoons are coming to MeTV Tunes is the name of the channel. Hanna-Barbera, Looney Tunes, there's going to be Rocky and Bullwinkle, Woody Woodpecker, Casper the Friendly Ghost, Betty Boop, Speed Racer, the real Ghostbusters, so not the weird, like, non-franchise related the Ghostbusters, but the real Ghostbusters, which I'm pretty sure is the one that is related to the franchise we all know and love. And then you have The Mask, the Police Academy cartoon, which I half forgot even existed until this article. Beetlejuice is finally finding its way back onto a proper broadcast channel. You don't just have to try and find clips on YouTube anymore. You can actually watch whole episodes. And then potentially, this one wasn't set yet, but there was mention of the show Freakazoid, which maybe you'll remember, maybe you won't, because it was at a time when Animaniacs was kind of at its peak. It came at the same time as the peak of Animaniacs, was aired immediately after Animaniacs, and then was followed by a show called Hysteria, which wasn't mentioned in here, but I'm pretty sure is the same production house that created Freakazoid. Just really Freakazoid, chimpanzee runs around in underwear, Freakazoid, that one, yeah, that's going to be on channel again. You're going to be able to watch over the broadcast airwaves. It is set to launch June excuse me, June 25th, and will also be offering on streaming services that offer MeTV. So Philo, Frndly, etc., those things that you're basically just streaming broadcast television, you'll be able to get it there. It does not sound like they're going to be doing any of the free streamers, which seems like a missed opportunity to me. So you won't be able to get it on Freevee or Tubi or Pluto. But if you have services, again, like Philo and Frndly, which, if I'm not mistaken, are paid services, which seems also to be kind of counterintuitive, then you'll be able to get it. You can find links down low to a couple of videos, the announcement video. There's also an interview with the CEO talking about this stuff. So it's really interesting. If you are a cartoon freak, then you'll be interested. And hopefully, like, this is a reason to turn my TV back on. Honestly, like, to turn the bunny ears back on. So, all right, and then our final piece in regular-ass news this week has to do with Canon cameras. So Canon just confirmed that they are, in fact, going to be releasing their the EOS R1, words. It's going to be their first flagship, like, main, this is the be-all, end-all camera that we make in this new mirrorless world that is Canon cameras. It's going to be a new CMOS sensor, which is to be expected because they usually put the newest sensor in their flagship camera and then it kind of degrades as you go down the line. It's new Digic processor. It's going to be just a bunch of newness. Goose, what are you doing? And then as far as like release goes, no information has been known just yet. They haven't told us what it's going to cost, though you can probably expect somewhere around $8,000, give or take. It's generally what flagships launch at from Canon, just for the body. That does not include any glass. But so we're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000-ish, and sometime this year. That's all they said as far as the release window. Sometime this year we'll be launching it. But Canon's usually not one to make an announcement and then make you wait 6 months. I would expect probably sometime in the next 3 months or so, we will be seeing at least pre-orders start on the EOS R1. That's what we got for this week in gaming and tech. Aside from gaming and tech suggestion this week, we're gonna say Fallout 76 is our suggestion. There is a limited time window if you are on Steam for you to still get the game for free, but you can still get and play the game for free. So go take advantage of that while we are waiting for the Fallout 4 update to hit. It's Fallout 76 has been fixed. By and large, it is now a pretty damn good playable game. It's not perfect, and it's definitely not the best Fallout out there, but it's the newest Fallout out there, so it's probably the least played. So I would say give it a shot, especially because it's free. If you are on Xbox Game Pass of any tier, then you get it for free, because I'm on Core, and I get it for free. So if you have any sort of Xbox Game Pass, you also get it for free, regardless, just because it's part of the Core package. So that is your recommendation this week, is Fallout 76. Go give it a shot one last time. Comic books and books. We really only have two pieces this week. One of them has to do with the end of Free Comic Book Day to a certain degree, plus a new book announced over at Marvel. So let's talk about them. All right. No follow-ups, no corrections, no trailers, just regular news. So first one, Flying Colors Comics, and there's a lot longer name to this comic book shop, but this is the place where Free Comic Book Day started. Flying Colors Comics is going out of business. So the guy who runs it, just their lease is up as of January of 2025. So it will be before the next Free Comic Book Day, is why this is relevant. Their lease is up and they're not entirely sure what's going to be happening next. There is the strong likelihood that we will be seeing them open up a new comic book shop somewhere in the same town. I didn't put it down because of course, I take amazing notes. You know this already. But where they started, there's very strong possibility they will be opening up a new shop, but it's not going to be the same for a number of reasons. One, because that is where the idea spawned for Free Comic Book Day. The owner was also a journalist at the time, back in 2012. 2012, I want to say it was. It could have been 2002. I might be misremembering it by about a decade. I think it was 2012, though. Either way, he's the guy who thought up the idea, and then the industry has kind of picked it up and run with it. And now the industry is kind of falling apart, and this is just a little bit of a prime example of that. Because they're also, like I said, very likely going to be pivoting into more than just comic books. As it stands right now, the Flying Colors Circus, Flying Colors Comics, rather, they only do comics. They I would imagine they have some sort of pretty notable presence. I would imagine they have some sort of pretty notable presence in their local comic book scene, and then whatever Comic-Con is in their area, they have a presence there as well. But as far as like sales go, like nobody's selling physical books anymore. So that's not exactly a business model that you can really sustain by itself. You have to have other things in the culture in order to sustain a comic book shop. So very likely we will be seeing them open something that is in that vein. And again, this I just really wanted to highlight this because it's kind of endemic of everything else going on in the industry right now, just falling to pieces a little bit. And then kind of to fly in the face of the statement that I just made, even though this is more of Marvel being in denial rather than anything else. But we have Dazzler, a new book announced from Marvel. Strangely, before the Deadpool and Wolverine movie comes out into theaters, which has everybody thinking, very interesting, don't you think? So yeah, new Dazzler book. It is going to be part of the From the Ashes reboot story arc. It's written by Jason Liu, art by Raphael Liu. I'm not going to be able to say the last name of Raphael, and I apologize. Luario, maybe? It's going to be a 4-issue mini. So again, kind of seems like marketing to some degree, don't you think? Oh, where did I leave off in the notes? Emphasizing themes of love and acceptance and blah, 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 blah. Dazzler's going on tour. We don't really care about those specifics. But again, it does have the industry going, well, maybe there's something to this whole, because that's kind of how Marvel is running their comic book side anymore, is it's really just promotion for the things that actually make money, which is movies and video games. So if we don't see Dazzler in the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, she's probably not going to be played by Taylor Swift if we do, but I feel like there's a strong possibility we will. But if that doesn't happen, then very likely we're going to be seeing some sort of game featuring her in the not too distant future. That's, like I said, what we got for Comic Books and Books News this week. Let's talk about Suggestion ever so briefly. So, comic book suggestion this week. It's actually a book suggestion, I apologize. That is Children of Dune. This is the third book in the Dune franchise, the proper Dune franchise. We're not talking about the prequel stuff. Proper Dune from Frank Herbert franchise. Children of Dune, third book. It is gearing you up for all of the crazy that happens after we lose Paul Atreides. Spoiler alert, I guess. So yeah, for a book that came out in like 1970. Come on, guys. Children of Dune is really what, okay, it's the book that is necessary to hook you in, because if you buy into Children of Dune, then God Emperor of Dune is just like, well, yeah, that's the logical conclusion, even though it is insane. Insane. The things that happen in God Emperor of Dune, you have to read Children to get to God Emperor, but wow. Go read Children of Dune. Do yourself a favor, because you've already read the first two books, because those are the ones that the movies are based on. So now get into the third and fourth books, shall we? This week's TV section is going to be abbreviated, but not quite as bad as previous weeks. We have trailers for the new Dune series, the new Dune episodic series, as well as a revival that I honestly thought might not happen over on Netflix, and Disney Plus is officially telling us that Ironheart is not canceled. So let's get into that and a bit more. So we have mostly follow-ups and corrections this week for TV. First one is Quantum Leap. The new reboot series has been canceled after 2 seasons. Again, kind of surprising no one when we speculated that this might be happening, what was it, like 2 months ago or so? Now it's official, it's happening. Nobody watched it. It was not as good as the original. What'd you expect? Next we have Spider-Man Noir has gotten a little bit of updates here. So it is going to be coming to MGM Plus and Amazon Prime. It will be live action, and Nicolas Cage has signed on to play the titular character. That is incredible. How are they going to do it? We don't really know just yet, but we do know that it is coming out. No official release date has been given just yet, but when it does, we will be talking about it. From there, let's talk real briefly about Ironheart, because Ironheart is not canceled. We've already confirmed this once, but now it's just like Disney doubling down and giving us a release window-ish. We have 2025. Sometime in 2025 is when it's going to be hitting Disney Plus. And I honestly would not be surprised if that changed or when it does come out, nobody watches it. And then our final follow-up for this episode has to do with Three Body Problem. This one was kind of not a surprise, but goof. You kind of had to hold your breath there for just a second because it is Netflix. Three Body Problem has been officially brought back for a second season, so we won't just have to deal with the fact that they didn't really give us any real conclusion at the end of the first season. So that's what we got for some corrections. Let's move now into trailers. This week's trailers, big, huge, awesome trailer, Dune Prophecy, was once going to be called Dune Sisterhood, now Dune Prophecy. It is, we got our first trailer for it. It's the prequel set 10,000 years before the events of the Dune movies, and it looks like Game of Thrones in space, and I kind of freaking love it. I also really love Dune, so, you know, there's that. Go check out that trailer, link in the description. Plus, our other one on Netflix is That 90s Show. They're releasing season 2 and also season 3, but I don't know. Netflix's terminology is just a little bonkers because we have Cobra Kai is getting released. The final season is being released in two parts. But That 90s Show was not originally released as part one. It was released as season one. And now we're getting part two and part three. Did we change our naming convention and just not to make that known? I don't know. It seems a little ridiculous. But part two is set to release June 27th, so not too far out just yet. And then part three, we don't have to wait a full year for. It's going to be October 24th. So seasons 2 and 3, I don't know. I did not see what the episode length of each part was going to be. It would make sense that if this is technically season 2 and part 2 and 3, then the parts are going to be like 3 or 4 episodes each. If they are legitimately seasons, though, then we're going to be seeing probably 6 to 8 episodes. So, I don't know. We'll follow up. That's what we got, though, this week for the TV section. Let's talk real quick about suggestions. Our suggestion this week for TV streaming, whatever, is Resident Alien over on Netflix. Resident Alien, very possibly, I did see a brief mention that it might be changing streamers after this next season. But right now, it's on Netflix. And always, Alan Tudyk is a win. The dude is fantastic, especially in stuff like this. This is just a really great fish out of water tale. It's told in like a comedy, in a comedy setting and based on a comic book. So yeah, go check out Resident Alien. You will not be displeased with yourself if you do. So this week in movies, we've got a whole bunch of follow-ups to talk about. Plus, we got a proper trailer for Megalopolis and a weird announcement from Warner Brothers Discovery as far as the Lord of the Rings is concerned. So let's do that. Let's talk about follow-ups and corrections this week. Real quick, we have Fantastic Four. We have some casting stuff that we really got to talk about. We have Ralph Ineson has been cast as Galactus, which is great. Ralph Ineson has done a number of things. Really, the reason they cast him is because he has just a fantastic voice. As far as like nerdy things go, I don't know that I saw anything of note in his filmography that's like super nerdy and qualifying, but he does like a lot of period stuff because he's a British actor and just has this fantastic voice for a character like Galactus. So that's pretty freaking awesome. This kills the rumors though, because we've been talking about Javier Bardem and Antonio Banderas possibly being the ones that play Galactus in the MCU, because that's what all the rumors have been saying. And that seems to not be the case at all. So there's that. We also have John Malkovich and Paul Walter Hauser have been cast in the Fantastic Four movie, both in undisclosed roles. Plus, we also have Natasha Lyonne, whom you will recognize. She was in American Pie. She was in the third Blade movie. She was in Blade Trinity. She did that Russian Doll show. She's done a number of things. She's the red-haired actress that... honestly, really funny. I really dig Natasha Lyonne. She's been cast in Fantastic Four, also in an undisclosed role. So there is that. Moving on in follow-ups and corrections, we have a new follow-up for the Roadhouse movie, Jake Gyllenhaal and company. There is a sequel coming for the Jake Gyllenhaal Roadhouse movie. Also not getting a theatrical release, just like the first one didn't. It's coming, no real window set to return just yet, but Jake Gyllenhaal is coming back to make the movie, so sure. I mean, it was a lot of fun the first time. Why won't the second one be fun too? Release dates moving back. These are a couple of changing release. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Brand newly announced release dates, not changing release dates. Supergirl has been announced with a June 26th, 2026 release date. And then Mortal Kombat 2, we have October 24th of 2025. So still over a year for Mortal Kombat and about 2 years for Supergirl. From there though, we also have new announcement in the John Wick franchise. There is a new spin-off movie that is going to be focused on the character of Kane, who was in episode 4, now freed up from the things that were whatever. I haven't watched episode 4 for John Wick, but Kane, the Asian dude, looks pretty great. It's John Wick, so it's going to be action-packed, and that's kind of all we really know about it at this point. So let's move on. Our one trailer that we're talking about this week is the proper trailer for Megalopolis. If you don't remember, Megalopolis is the new Francis Ford Coppola movie that is going to be really interesting science fiction. If you don't know who Francis Ford Coppola is, you need to study film a little bit more, but, you know, Dracula, Apocalypse Now, Godfather, etc., etc., etc. All of the greats, if you will. New trailer gives us a little bit more to go on from the teaser that we got a couple of weeks ago, and this looks like it's going to be very, very interesting. It's going to be really good because Francis Ford Coppola just does good movies, but just the premise and the storytelling are going to be very, very interesting. Go link in the description. From there, we have a couple of pieces of regular-ass news. I'm going to flip them in the notes. I'm just saying that out loud, so as I'm editing this, I'll remember to put the proper pictures where they need to go. Flipping them, the first one we're going to talk about is the passing of Roger Corman. We talked actually about Roger Corman not too long ago because the special, what was it, the Valentine's special, I believe, for Joe Bob over on Shudder, they did a Roger Corman movie. Actually, no, it was a dedicated to Roger Corman's body of work. So it was two Roger Corman movies. And honestly, the event, I believe they did 4 Roger Corman movies if you were there live. If you were there live, the comment sections down below, let's talk about that experience because I'm sure it was incredible. Either way, Roger Corman, who is legendary director, just movie guy in general, kind of notoriously B-movies, that is kind of his stock in trade, is making B-movies. But that's not to discredit his work or his contributions to theater, because the dude started a lot of careers. He was making movies for a very, very long time. Legendary Roger Corman has passed, which is weird. He was 98 years old, so like it shouldn't be shocking, but this one was a little shocking. He did want to do a remake of his version of Little Shop of Horrors. So the Little Shop of Horrors that everybody knows, the musical with Rick Moranis. There we go. The musical with Rick Moranis, etc., 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 was based on the screenplay that Roger Corman produced as a movie that was not a musical. It was a black and white movie. And then that got turned into a stage production. And the stage production is what got turned into the musical movie. It's kind of how that works. So he wanted to do a reboot of his original movie that started all of that. Which is, there's very lofty goals for a 98-year-old, and I was honestly quite excited at the prospect of getting something new from Roger Corman. All of that being said, I was unable to find the cause of death for Mr. Corman, and I mean, it's kind of irrelevant. He's no longer with us, and the movie industry is without a giant, much like the music industry in that section this week. So we're going to take a moment and remember Roger Corman, because dude was amazing. Okay, now let's talk about Lord of the Rings. So, Lord of the Rings, Warner Brothers Discovery has made it known that there is going to be two new movies in the franchise. The first of which has a title. It's going to be called Hunt for Gollum. There will be, like I said, there will be two different movies. The second one does not yet have a subtitle, but it is kind of noteworthy here because a number of things. First off, we have Andy Serkis and Peter Jackson both returning to the project. Serkis this time will be directing. Presumably he will not be playing Gollum, though possibly he will be playing Gollum. And Peter Jackson, who originally directed, is now going to be in as the producer, as the executive producer. So that's fairly noteworthy, but also like, no word as to exactly where in the Tolkien lore they're going to be pulling from to get the information to make the to write these stories. So there's a lot of follow-up here. I do want to pass this one off to you. A, what are your thoughts on them returning to Middle-earth? What are your thoughts on exactly what story could be told here? For somebody who's maybe a little bit more familiar with the lore than I am, like I've read the books, but that was probably it. I read the last one over a decade ago. So let's talk about that, shall we? That's what we got though this week for the movie section. Aside from movie suggestion this week. It's been a suggestion fairly recently, but we're going to say Onyx the Fortuitous. This time, you don't have to pay to watch it, though. It is moving over to Tubi. I don't know if it's available right now, but it should be available very, very soon, according to the Bowser Vids YouTube channel. Andrew Bowser is the guy who created Onyx the Fortuitous, who also plays Onyx the Fortuitous. If you haven't seen it yet, please go see Onyx. Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls. That is your movie suggestion of this week. It is classic, like low-grade comedy horror, but done with practical effects and with so much heart and soul, like it will sell you even if you've never heard of the character Onyx the Fortuitous. Go watch it. It's worth it. That's your suggestion for the week.
Maybe. It's classified.
Rumor mill, we have some refutations, actually. And we're going to be talking about the Ben Affleck rumor that we talked about a week or two ago. Plus, we have Spider-Man 4 and Doom. All right, like I said, refutations. Let's do this. We are refuting two rumors, one of which is the Javier Bardem, kind of two rumors in and of itself. Javier Bardem and Antonio Banderas were long rumored to be playing Galactus in the MCU. Now we know that that is not the case, so refuted. And then we also have Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck is not going to be joining the MCU for the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. Now, this one, there's a little bit of a caveat here because their specific refutation that has been refuted, the specific rumor has been refuted, is that Ben Affleck was going to appear in the Deadpool Wolverine movie as Batman, when the rumor that we covered here on the channel was that he was going to be signing on to the MCU for a cameo for some sort of MCU character, like not as a DC character, because that's ridiculous. So why did we have to refute that? I don't know, but a lot of places were talking about it, so we had to put it in here because that's just silly on the surface of it and gets even progressively worse as you get deeper into it. So yeah, still potentially we will see Ben Affleck in the Daredevil and Wolverine movie, just not as Batman, because people are silly. All right, so no new sources for old rumors. We just have new rumors, baby. Let's talk about them. The first one is Mando and Grogu, because words. Mandalorian and Grogu has apparently cast Sigourney Weaver. The rumor specifically says that she's considering signing a contract for the movie. which is just good enough of a rumor to cover anyway. And so Sigourney Weaver, like, it comes from a fairly good source, a source that has a pretty good track history when dealing with the rumor things. So that definitely plays a little bit well for it. Again, vagary usually does well for rumors, and there's a lot of vagary around this one, though it's been picked up by some pretty big outlets who have sources that could shoot it down. So that helps it probably the most. 65% likely we're going to see Sigourney Weaver in the Mandalorian movie, and to what degree, I think, is really the biggest question as to, is she going to be a main character? Is she just going to come in with like a 5-minute cameo situation? What's going on there? That's the part that's up for speculation. The rest of it seems pretty close to a lock. So 65%, and that's being conservative. Our next one has to do with Spider-Man 4. This is the ongoing rotating director's chair for Spider-Man 4, is said to be filled now by James Wan. James Wan also has, previously he did Aquaman. I think he did both Aquaman movies. He did horror, pretty good at the horror stuff. Aquaman, the first Aquaman movie, is not bad. So yeah, this, because of the source, and because, like, James Wan's kind of a nerdy dude, like, there's a lot to go on here. We're saying 80% likely that we will be seeing James Wan direct Spider-Man 4. Our next one has to do with the X-Men. Speaking of rotating director's chairs, X-Men, the rumor has it that Ryan Coogler, who does the Wakanda movies, the Black Panther movies, Ryan Coogler is now rumored to be directing the first X-Men movie as well as Black Panther 3, which is still somewhere in the works. So yeah, there's very little doubt in my mind that Ryan Coogler, again, considering the sources, because this has been picked up by, again, a number of sources who have the ability to refute certain things. Yeah, Ryan Coogler, I'll be very surprised if Coogler is not the director of the first X-Men movie in the MCU. So 90% likely that that will happen. Yeah, moving into our final rumor, and it is a gaming rumor. We have Doom, not Dune, Doom, as in heavy metal and demons and hell and such. We have a new game being rumored from the Doom franchise. It is, Bethesda has done a number of things. Bethesda is the publisher, they're not the developer. Id Software is still the developer on the franchise, but Bethesda publishes through Microsoft. It's just complicated. But there's been a number of things that have gone into place to kind of back this up. First up, we have the, where did it go? Xbox Games Showcase Bethesda this June is gearing up for something. They haven't said specifically what. They registered a new trademark, Bethesda has, for IDFKA, which, if you remember back in the olden times of the video gaming, when Doom was a new thing, Doom 1 and Doom 2, IDFKA was a code. I think it was the boss mode code, if I remember correctly, but it was, either way, it was a cheat code in the first two games, which means very unlikely that this trademark is not related to a new Doom game. And then also, we haven't really heard a whole lot from Id in recent months or years, actually. I think it's been about 2 years since we've heard anything significant from Id Software. So that just kind of, there's a whole lot of gaps and a whole lot of reason to believe that those gaps are going to be filled with Doom work. So let's say 70% to be conservative with exactly what's going on there. 70% likely we will be seeing a Doom game be announced at the Xbox Games Showcase in June, which leads us into our speculation for the episode. We didn't really talk about this in the main episode proper because it's just a real quick, the Venom 3 movie has wrapped with principal photography, so now they're doing all the post, so it'll be a little while before we see him. But Venom 3, there is a lot of speculation, and I'm going to throw into that. The villain for Venom 3 is going to be Lasher, which is one of the forced symbiotes from the comic books that comes from Venom himself, much like Carnage did, only Carnage is just kind of the most well-known slash popular of the children of Venom, if you will. And if you remember the way that they work, the children are always stronger, supposedly always stronger than the parent symbiote. So very intrigued to see what they do here. But like the reason that this speculation exists is because if you look, some of the cast and crew who are no longer working on the project, because like I said, they wrapped on principal photography, they have some very telling signs. There's some slash marks that are green, and the name of the, where is it? The name of the movie. Oh, good Lord. What was the subtitle? I didn't write it down. Why would I not do that? Because that factors into, because I take amazing notes. That's why I didn't do that. So yeah, speculation. Yeah, I'm totally buying into it too, that Lasher is going to be the big villain. We will find out soon enough. That's what we got for the rumor section though, nerds. All right. That means we got housekeeping to talk about.
Housekeeping, you want me for pillow?
Yeah, so as you already know, because we are going up so late, this is a weird week as far as schedule goes. There is not going to be a That Just Happened episode, nor is there going to be a new, technically there is, I just haven't filmed a new shout out show for the second channel. There is going to be a shout out show. It's just a really big one from last week that I'm not done editing yet. So that will go up sometime soon, as well as a couple of shorts and things. But next week's schedule is also going to be a little wonky. So we'll probably just do a live show on Wednesday of next week, because behind the scenes, there's interesting situations left and right as far as like my day job is concerned and my personal life and so on and so forth. So we're not going to get into those details, but approximately 2 weeks from now, we should be back to our regularly scheduled pre-recorded videos with all of the production and the things. And I don't think there's anything of note as far as concerts or anything in the direct immediate future that's going to affect the schedule at all. But if something happens, stay tuned to the socials like you did for the news that this episode was going to be late. This week, stay tuned to all the socials, and we'll see you when we see you. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. Before we head out, you know, don't forget to check out all of the other things on the channel, like, subscribe, do the things. But always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.